concludes the Division I Committee Instructions Press Conference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be given at that time. If you require assistance during the call, please press star, then zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to our host, Ms. Emily James from the NCAA. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Janice. Welcome to today's press call to discuss the NCAA Division I Committee on Infractions decision regarding the University of Southern Mississippi. Members of the media, you should have received a link to both the press release and published decision, which contains details on the case. It can also be found at ncaa.org. The Committee on Infractions is an independent group comprised of representatives across the NCAA membership and public. The members who reviewed this case include Michael F. Adams, Chancellor of Pepperdine University, Joel Matori, former University of Minnesota Twin Cities Athletics Director, Gary L. Miller, Chancellor at the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, Eleanor Myers, Panel Chair and Law Professor at Temple University, Joe Novak, former head football coach at Northern Illinois University, Jill Pilgrim, attorney in private practice, and David Roberts, Vice President for Athletics Compliance at the University of Southern California. Eleanor Myers will now discuss the findings and decisions of the Infractions Committee. Following her opening comments, she will take questions.
Thank you, Emily. This case is about a breathtaking and audacious academic fraud. The Committee on Infractions decision meticulously details the findings and the penalties. My comments today on behalf of the committee are designed to address your questions. However, the report stands on its own. I may refer you to the report, which contains a detailed description of what happened in this case, much of which actually was not disputed. The violation centered on a former head men's basketball coach at the University of Southern Mississippi who acted unethically and failed to promote an atmosphere for compliance when he directed his staff to engage in academic misconduct. Over the course of 2 years, the former coach directed most members of his coaching staff to complete fraudulent coursework for 7 prospective student athletes so they could be immediately eligible to compete. During the investigation, the former head coach also took a number of actions to thwart the investigation, including the destruction of thousands of potentially relevant emails and belatedly instructing another person to create a document to justify payments that were made to student athletes. The academic fraud began within 6 weeks of the former head coach becoming the university's head men's basketball coach. It involved nearly all of the former coach's staff and approximately half of all prospects recruited to the university during the 2-year period. As part of the plan, the former head coach directed 2 graduate assistants and a former assistant coach to travel to 2-year colleges to complete coursework for the prospects. The former coach also facilitated improper cash and prepaid credit card payments from pre-collegiate coaches to 2 academic non-qualifiers who were enrolled at the university. As I said, the former head coach did a number of things to disrupt the investigation. He instructed a staff member to belatedly create a document purporting to show that the university compliance office had approved payments from the student athlete's former coaches. And he used it to justify his facilitation of those payments without noting that it had been created more than 2 years after the alleged conversation. He also failed to promote an atmosphere for compliance when he deleted emails relevant to the investigation, provided false or misleading information during interviews, contacted other individuals involved with knowledge of the investigation on an undisclosed telephone, and directed the academic misconduct. The investigation was impeded as several key participants declined to cooperate, including a former associate head coach, a graduate assistant who completed the fraudulent coursework for the prospects, and in addition, an enrolled student athlete's former prep school coach refused to submit key financial documents. After reviewing the case, we accepted the following penalties self-imposed by the university: a 2-year postseason ban for the men's basketball team, which has already been served, or was served during 2014-15 and the current 2015-16 season, a reduction of 5 men's basketball scholarships over the next 3 years, a $5,000 fine plus an amount equal to 1% of the average total budget, a reduction in the number of men's basketball official visits by 3, several other recruiting restrictions, and in addition, the committee prescribed the following penalties and corrective measures: a 3-year probation period to run consecutive to the present probation period the institution is on probation for a previous violation. The new 3-year period will begin on January 30th, 2017 and run through January 29th, 2020. A 10-year show cause for the former head coach, which will run through April 7th, 2026. Following that period, any NCAA school that hires the former coach must suspend him for the first 50% of the games of the first season that he's employed. A 6-year show cause order for the graduate assistant who completed online assignments and did not appear at the hearing. That will run also. That will run through April 7th, 2022. A 7-year show cause for the graduate assistant who completed online assignments. The 6-year was for the one who did not appear at the hearing but did cooperate with the investigation. A 7-year show cause for the one who refused to cooperate. An 8-year show cause for the former associate head coach who did not cooperate. And a 2-year limited show cause order for the prep school coach who refused to supply financial documents that would have aided the investigation. We have also prescribed a vacation of wins. The school has already vacated certain wins, and so after this call and after the submission of the report, the school and the NCAA will get together and determine whether there are any additional vacations that will be required by the NCAA's report. That includes my remarks.
Thanks, Eleanor. Janice, can you please explain to the reporters how they can ask a question?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then 1 on your touch tone phone. You will hear an acknowledgement tone. You may remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. If using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1 at this time. One moment, please. We have a question from the line of Jake New from Inside Higher Education. Please go ahead. Mr. New, your line is open.
Yeah, sorry. In the last year or two, we've had a few infractions cases dealing with academic misconduct, Syracuse, the Memphis cyber state, and then Louisiana, now Southern Mississippi. Those last two, the fraud sort of extended even beyond campus to an ACT test site, and now in this case, junior college. I'm wondering, do you think we're at a point where this is something meaningful is going on here in terms of pressure on coaches to commit this sort of fraud?
I certainly understand the question, and I, you know, we've been focused very much on academic fraud over the last. The membership has been particularly concerned. I think that it's hard for me to say whether it's on the rise. I think that what we're seeing is much better tools for figuring it out. I mean, if you look at the way in which this investigation was done, you know, there was an extensive use of metadata. Now that students are submitting much of their coursework online, in fact, some of these courses were online courses, and we had handwriting analysis here. You know, there are tools, and you know, as being from Inside Higher Ed, you know, there's Turnitin and these other tools to figure out if there's plagiarism. I think that the universities as a whole are uncovering academic misconduct at, maybe more thoroughly uncovering academic misconduct. And so probably what's going on here is symptomatic of a bigger problem. And not confined to sports. That would be my personal opinion.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one. We have no further questions. Please continue.
Seeing no questions, thank you again for joining us today. This concludes our comments. The recording of this teleconference will be available on nca.org in the near future.